1982, and it's also the first song since Mountain Jam, which happened in 1971, for which Dickie Betts and Greg Allman received co-writing credits. This song is called Good Clean Fun, and I want to play it to remember Mr. Betts. We lost him last week at the age of 80. This is WMFO.
I'm on the ground.
It's WMFO Medford, 10:05 in the morning. I'm Mike. How you doing? Yeah, that was just so good to hear, wasn't it? Allman Brothers Band from 1990's record called Seven Turns. That was good, clean fun. And I'm glad I've got a rock and roll band here to talk about that great song by the Allman Brothers. Let's say hi to everybody first. Ladies first. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I'm great. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, for sure. And Dave Hall is here. He's going to be playing bass.
Yes. Nice to be here, by the way.
Yep. And Mike, you're doing drums.
Hello. How you guys doing?
Yeah. And you can introduce yourself. You're Henry.
I'm Henry Size from The Sins.
Size. Yeah. You remember why I say it that way?
Why?
Because when you were first here and I asked you about how the band name came about,
We
determined very easily, of course, that... you know, the sin is her. And you said, my name is Size with a Z.
I'm the Z.
That's right. He's the Z. All right, so let's just spend like, 2 minutes talking about your impressions of the Allman Brothers, Dickie Betts, and hearing that great song. It's so sad to have to lose people, but nobody gets out alive.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I grew up with them,
yep.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't one of my major influences. I would kind of attribute bands to like, Mountain and Steppenwolf and that kind of vein.
I remember.
And but Allman Brothers were definitely right there. I really liked Dwayne a lot.
Yeah.
Dwayne was like did like all the slide stuff, which I thought was cool.
Very cool.
The whole band was great.
Yep.
Great musicians.
And Cindy, you were saying that was your first concert?
That was my first concert, and actually I shouldn't have even been there, but my my sister went, and I don't know why I was supposed to be being watched by her. I think I was like 12, turning 13, and somebody dosed me with acid, and I can't say it wasn't bad. It was great. But to have your very first rock show be the Allman Brothers, and... Henry, remember Roosevelt Stadium?
I do.
It was rainy and muddy. It was a big field.
Yeah.
And that was one hell of a, like an introduction to going to rock shows.
It was like a mud puddle, a big mud puddle.
It was great.
Kind of like what we have out there today. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
We had that coming over.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made it here.
So, two things.
Dave U-Haul, everybody.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. There were two things that I remember about the Allman Brothers. One was I had a friend who was a harmonica player, blues harmonica player, a really great guy. And what happened was he was friends with Muddy Waters, and we went down to the Cafe Wa to see him play. And Dwayne Allman, I just remembered this now.
Yeah.
Dwayne Allman came up and jammed with Muddy. And it was like,
oh my God.
I was like, who knows how old I was then? I shouldn't even have been in the club, but but it was unbelievable. That was the first time I actually knew about the Allman Brothers or Dwayne Allman. And then my sister, who was a real rock fanatic, yeah, she still is, but she took me to the Fillmore East. And we saw the Allman Brothers live. I saw the second show where they actually went until about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. So my mother was going out, I think, and she had a babysitter. So she says, we're going to the Fillmore. So I really got in a lot of trouble because we got home at like 5 o'clock in the morning. But I remember that they were doing, they were doing stuff and they would stop and then they would do it again. And it was like, it went on all night, because they were trying to get it right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember I was sitting next to somebody and he looked very familiar. I couldn't place it, but later on I found that was Al Di Meola.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he was there too. He was unknown at the time, obviously. But there was, it was quite a show. I mean, I never heard that kind of music before.
Right.
I was like Henry. They were not influential people, in my library. But Memory of Elizabeth Reed is,
that's unbelievable.
That's an unbelievable song. Even today, I mean, stands out.
Al Di Meola was going to be a part of our backup band when I was 17 in Kamikaze Kitty and the Attack Cats. It was Al Di Meola.
I still love that name.
Yeah, he was supposed to be playing in that band.
Ah, crazy.
Yeah, so.
And Mike Retcher, do you have any Allman's recollections?
Dickie Betts, legendary guitar player.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Butch Trucks, rocks.
Yeah.
Allman Brothers as a whole is Hall of Fame, rock and roll band. You can't get any better than that.
Rest in peace, man. Dickie Betts, yeah. 80 years old. Yeah, we just lost him last week. So, all right, help me in clapping for yourselves. These are the Sins from New Jersey. Woo-hoo! I'm so glad you guys are back in Boston. It's just great to see you. You've got two shows going on while you're here, which is nuts. You're at the Square Root in Roslindale tonight.
I love that place.
We love
I love the place, too.
Rosie.
You go on at 9 p.m. tonight. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow you're at the Worthen Attic in Lowell.
Love that place, too.
Yeah, both great stuff. So we're going to have a little treat. You guys are going to play for us acoustically. I'm going to remember to put the bass up, too, so we'll be able to hear him. Now we can hear you when you... This, see, it's working. All right. And you can hear it in the headphones, like I said?
I can hear it.
Yeah, these are acoustic. This is all acoustic today.
This is all acoustic today, but let me just tell everybody, like anybody doesn't know, your new record, Little Miss Lost, has been out since... what month is this? Since March 29th?
March 29th it was released.
Yeah, and...
it's our first record from on the Gem labels. And our fifth overall.
And this one's been a little different, hasn't it? I mean, it's just everywhere.
It's a strange way that we released this album because there were singles from it that were released last year. And so the actual official release of the entirety of the album was March 29th.
Yep.
But there were singles released prior.
Yep.
You know, just because it took us 2 years to get this album completed, and Jem didn't want us just sitting around waiting for this, you know, to get heard. So they were kind enough to release a couple singles to keep us motivated,
mm-hmm.
more than anybody, because I was biting at the bit to get something out.
And I'll tell you, as somebody that play, like, you make the music, I play it. So I got a chance to play those advanced singles, and right away I knew that this is like, and you were nice enough to send me an advanced copy too, and we played it in the car. We were traveling somewhere. We're all like, wow, this is really good. I mean, really good. You can't pick a bad song on it.
Thank you.
I had anxiety attacks more than any other album about this one, and actually, Dan Angling, who you'll hear from in a bit, he and I forgot, we were driving to a show somewhere, and he was listening, we were listening to it in the car, and really no one was supposed to hear it, but, you know, Dan does so much with us, and so I said, Dan, what do you think of this? Because I'm really anxious. I'm just afraid, like, you know, I'll do shows and people will throw fruit at me or something. And we listened in silence from beginning to end, and Dance, like, after the whole thing ended, he looked at me and he said, there isn't a bad song on this album.
It's easy to say that about, but it's true. I mean, we're going to hear a whole bunch of them today, and we're really psyched you're going to do some acoustic stuff.
Yeah.
So the first one that you want to do is a song called Break Me.
Yes.
And we'll follow that up with another one I forgot already. What's
the only one?
The only one. All right. So you guys can start whenever you want. And Henry, I'm going to move this microphone over too, so you'll have two of them
while
you're doing your thing.
Thank you.
And all right. These are the Sins. A cut acoustically from Little Miss Lost. This is Break Me right here at WMFO.
And tender skin, so you'll go back again. you break me. So go on and break me. I never learn nothing. Go on, go on. Make me your everything. When my heart bleeds, you'll be going down with me.
Henry, is that that? I can't tell. Is that the same guitar you had before? I'm not a guitar person. That's a beauty.
It's and a 12 string.
Yeah, that was what I was going
to
ask you.
It does what it wants to do, which is kind of the cool thing about it. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I love that. It's so jangly.
Yeah.
I just love it to death. All right, that was Break Me from the new album. And you guys want to do one more as well?
Sure, let's do the only one.
Okay.
It goes something like this.
Only one, you've never been any.
a song about lovers and loss. All of you women that you've come across, it's a long road you walk alone. It's a long road you walk alone. It doesn't matter when you say I'm not your only one. You've never been anyone's only one. Only one. Only one.
All right. WMFO Metro, yeah. That's the Sins and the Only One. You know, that song really translates really well to acoustic.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to do those two today. I said this morning, we were just going over them, and I said, you know, I almost like the acoustic version even better because there's something
I really
so
love
pure.
That. Yeah.
The truth
yeah.
is, when we write these things, a lot of them start out
I would think so.
Acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
sometimes they either stay that way or they get transferred over to electric.
Yep. Who's got all the jangles on
me,
them?
Me, I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
You know, it's hard being a rock star.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I wouldn't know, but maybe someday. I don't
you
know.
You are a rock star.
Seeing what I got myself into? Mm. Jeez. All right. So their new album is called Little Miss Lost. I just heard two acoustic versions of some great songs off there. First one was Break Me, and then just heard The Only One. And I'm going to play a song now that you guys have been playing in the live shows that I've seen you in, and we thought this was going to be the first single. We really were pretty sure this is going to be the one, but it wasn't. But it did eventually come out as a single. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Little Miss Lost?
No.
I thought that was officially
but
the first
one. But Crowhair, we thought was going to be the one.
You know, actually, it was Dan pegged that one from the get-go.
Yeah.
And the reviewers loved that track.
Yeah, I really love it. So I want to play that one, and then I want to follow it up with, it's a song that you had put out before, and it's a song by the Smithereens, and the difference this time around with Room Without a View is Jim Babjack.
Oh my God, Jim Babjack.
Right? Oh my God, yeah. I mean, it's all you can say. So do you want to say anything about those two songs before I spin them?
Jim Babjack went to Kurt Ryle, who is the producer of this album, and actually was not the first producer of this song, but that would be Michael Giblin. But Jim went to, you know, the Smithereens recorded House of Vibes, the studio that we recorded a lot of this in. And he said,
didn't
why
that.
Didn't Cindy ask me to play on this?
Oh.
And so we're sitting there one day and Kurt said, you know, Jim asked me why you didn't ask him if he could play on this. I went, what?
Yeah, you must have been like, really?
I'm like, well, yeah.
Well, we asked him, first of all, Jim, is it okay for us to do the song? Because we didn't want to do it without his
blessings.
So
how about the first time you did it? Did you talk to him?
I wouldn't have touched this song without asking
and
him first.
And he was like, yeah, go ahead, do the song. But then he was like, we heard later, he said, I wonder why they didn't ask me to play.
It never occurred to me that Jim would play on, like, we're a little band, really. And it never occurred to me that he would play on it. But I said, you know, Kurt, ask him if it's okay if I come in and watch him record it. And I brought him a nice bottle of Robin Redbreast.
There you go.
Which he fully enjoyed, by the way.
Yeah.
And watching him do this, I'm sitting there going, okay, this is a Smithereen song that we covered that a Smithereen, you know, God is doing the lead guitar on. And I said to Henry, do you mind, you know, if Jim does the lead on this? And he goes, he could do whatever he wants on the song. Uh-huh. But it was just surreal to watch him playing, like the actual recording. I sat there and watched.
I bet. And it came out just great.
Yeah, he took it to another level. We're very fortunate to have him on and thankful.
Totally. So that'll be the second one I play. So Crowhaired Boys, all of these songs are pretty personal to you. But talk about Crowhaired Boys a little bit. It's such a great song, and what's the thoughts behind it?
I was a club person back in the day.
No
I
kidding.
Mean, I had this boyfriend that was a gorgeous model that everybody let in for free all the time. So we always got into these clubs, you know, for free, and they didn't care about me. It was all about him. And so Dan Satiri was like my favorite out of all the clubs. And it used to occur to me that all these guys I knew that were, and then girls, that were like spending hours getting their hair just right and
yep.
spiking it up and the makeup and the eyeliner and the clothes, all the gear. You know, they'd get to the clubs and they'd be these punks and we'd be punks for the night. And then in the morning, a lot of them had to, like, you know, wash all the stuff out of their hair and comb it down and go off to their 9-to-5 suit and tie jobs. And it was how you afforded the nightlife, too. Of course, I had some friends that just bust and lived homeless in the park. But one day I just picked up a pencil and a piece of paper and just started to write this song about those days.
And you thought of them as crow-haired boys.
I always used to say they've got hair like a crow.
All right, there you go.
Jet black and sticking up.
All right, everybody, here's the Sins. We'll start with Crow-Haired Boys, and then we'll follow it up with a beautiful segue, I'm sure, into Room Without a View that we just talked about. This is the Sins at WMFO.
Yeah.
Favorite part.
So they have it, everybody. 10:33 in the morning. That's Room Without a View with the great Jim Bad Jack on there. You guys, so did you record the whole thing over again for this new version? All new vocals, all new everything, or just the guitar was switched out?
Yeah, we just switched out the guitar.
Oh.
We had it pretty much done.
Interesting. Didn't say Tommy Christich from the Jelly Bricks is playing drums on that track.
Jelly Bricks.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know all the coolest people.
And Michael Giblin was on bass on that track from Split Squad and the Parallax Project. So it really was kind of a village.
Yeah, it was a village track.
That's pretty cool. All right, let's explore a couple more songs off of this album. Just a Boy. That one caught my ears as well. You're smiling just big time. Tell me why.
It was very personal to me.
Okay.
I'm not going to give away the details, although I did advertise today when advertising the show that I was going to ditch the dirt. But it was definitely about a specific person.
Boy.
And who was a man, but there was like this boyish quality. And
it's still in there, Cindy. We grow up, but we don't grow up.
Well, this is true. This is true.
Yeah.
And I think that women like that. But at the same time... it really was. It was a serious love song, when I wrote it.
To him or just to?
To him.
To him. Okay, and then I told you my favorite song from your past. You know, all about sort of the stalker nature of what you do in Superfan.
Yeah.
And I still love that. I always will. It's in my Hall of Fame, in the back of my brain. This next song I read somewhere, maybe it was something that you posted, that this was the first one that you guys came up with called We Were in Love.
When We Were in Love,
Speaking of personal, I mean...
Very.
What can you say about that one? I mean, I just love it.
I think one of the things people like about this album is there's so many relatable things. If you've lived long enough, you've experienced everything that's on this album. And When We Were in Love is just that pain, that heartbreak, where you don't dislike a person. It wasn't something bad that you didn't, your love didn't die. It's just, you know, the whole excitement died down. The whole, like, the thing came to like a tire that lets out air. And you knew it was time to go your separate ways, be it a breakup or death or whatever. But When We Were in Love is about that pain of you love the person, but you're not in love anymore.
Well, you know what? It's such a sweet song sonically. So that really does justice to that whole thing there.
It's a real contradiction, you know?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want it to be an angry song. It's not an angry song. It's more like... you know, thank you for being in my life and our chapter's closed. But it's sad because, you know, when we were in love, we called each other every night.
Right,
you know,
right.
We danced until we saw daylight, and then you stop doing those things, and that's sad.
It is, definitely. But we all go through it.
That's
and
it.
Like you said, we all can relate to this.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to start off with Just a Boy, then When We Were in Love, and then the most exciting thing ever, Dan's going to come up after that and tell us all about the two shows that we'll be seeing this weekend and whatever else Dan has in his brain.
Dan's
we'll hear a couple more songs, too, later. All right, let's start off with Just a Boy. These are the Sins, WMFO.
We've been
'cause we were in love. We were in love. We were in love.
It's WMFO in Medford, 10:43 in the morning. I'm Mike, here with all the way from New Jersey, The Sins.
Yeah!
The whole band is
Let's hear it for The Sins.
The whole band is here. So we just heard a couple more tracks from their great record, which is called Little Miss Lost. We heard Just a Boy and When We Were in Love. Just great songs, segued well together. And here comes the highlight of the day. Welcome back, Dan.
Hey, thank you, Mike.
Yay!
I appreciate it.
Yay!
Bootleg Dan has returned from the asylum.
Well, you got to go back, you know, after this weekend.
Yeah,
They're
I know.
They're not letting you out.
Okay.
All right, so what's going on?
Oh, my God. So much is going on.
Yeah.
But let's start. I can't say enough about The Sins.
Nope.
I have been on them from day one. Cindy and Henry, meeting them at the Big Star show in Jersey City.
That was where it was, huh?
And ever since then, thank Justine for that. Because Justine has told me,
miss
she
you,
goes,
Justine.
You know, Marty Scott of Gem Records. Marty, he just knows his music. And Justine said to me, she goes, you got to get The Sins up here. And I said, okay. And then Henry reached out to me, and we got talking. And the next thing I know, I'm meeting him in Jersey. And it's just been a whirlwind. I can't thank them enough. This is so much fun. Retirement couldn't be better.
Yep. And you get to book these guys all over the place, including today and tomorrow. Tell
That's
us about
right.
the shows.
Today, they're going to be playing at the Square Root. It's the hottest show in town.
Yeah,
come on,
we
folks. The hottest show in town.
Get there early, everybody, because it's not a large place.
Right. And it's not a large place. And,
no, it's $20 at the door.
They could buy tickets.
Yep.
They could buy tickets, but it's $20 at the door. We're going to start out with High End, Anthony Bruno. Killer band on Rumbar Records, and then at 9 o'clock The Sins are going to knock your socks off.
They've
already played there. They've been playing here. They love Boston. It's like their home away from home.
Yep.
Just like the Parkside Lounge in New York is my home away from home. And then we're going to go right in with Mock Bell. This is the only show that Mock Bell is doing this spring. He loves Cindy. He loves Henry. He's The Sins. It's going to be a kick-ass show. And not to mention Muck and the Myers.
Oh, yeah.
Yay!
You know, Muck is
Always
not around a lot.
No.
They're playing all over the world.
Literally.
Luckily to get them, you know, at the Square Root tonight.
Yeah.
So if you miss this show, get off the couch. Get off the couch.
God,
it's time
so
to rock
short.
And roll. Don't tell me it's raining. What, are you going to melt? You ain't the witch from the west.
Okay. Yeah. Music starts tonight at 8, doors at 7 at the Square Root in Roslindale. You get to see these great bands. The Sins go on second of the night. 9 o'clock is their set time. All right, so.
Let's go.
Oh, yay.
All right. Okay. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of shows at the Worthing Attic. Well, we got a great show at the Worthing Attic tomorrow in Lowell, starting at 4 o'clock. The Sins, they're still in town.
Hey!
They're still rocking. We're going to call this the Hangover Show.
There you go.
Because after tonight, it will be the Hangover Show.
Yeah.
They're going to be playing with the Amazing Stigmatics.
Yeah.
Who have also played in New York at the Parkside. And they're going to be playing again a couple of times this summer.
Fantastic.
And the band I'm really looking forward to seeing is Shiny Beach. I don't know if you guys know who Shiny Beast are, but that's Mitch on guitar. I forget who else was in the band. And we got DJ Sherman playing.
All right.
You know,
Yay!
So
it'll be tween set in entertainment.
Yeah, we've got some great entertainment. Again, my partners in crime, Dean and Lucia Malite up in Lowell. We're going to have a great time.
Yep.
Black Crow Productions.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
hey, that's all I got to say for now. I'll be on later with Brian
Young.
With the Crash Course for the Ravers.
Yeah.
So, hey, thank you again. It's great to be back. Let's rock and roll with Mike.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Dan.
All right.
It's nice to have you back.
He's frighteningly good at this.
Yeah, I mean, if you put a microphone in front of the guy, I mean, look out.
Yeah. Dan's
right?
the man.
It's crazy. All right, so at 10:47, we have time for a couple more songs. I've got two picked out. Let me tell you what they are. From the great album Little Miss Lost, of course. The first one I want to do is You Would Not Miss Me.
That's my personal favorite.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right. Talk a little bit about that, if you
would.
Well,
Henry, I haven't let him talk. Go ahead, talk about the song.
Well, you would not miss me as another one of the early ones, along with When We Were in Love.
Yep.
Those were, I think, one of the first two tracks that we had completed that we sort of pitched to Marty when he became interested. And he's like, what do you got? And so we sent him a bunch of demos, and those were like the two
nice
first ones. Yeah. So, yeah, they were sort of this, that's when this old kind of this romantic sort of ideas started. Because it's kind of a, I wouldn't say it's a stretch for us, but it's kind of like an area that we never really ventured into a lot. Everything, most of our stuff is very aggressive, hard hitting. And these got kind of like softer.
But it's also kind of, if I can say, they're also kind of polished. Yeah. In a way that happens when a band matures.
Yeah.
If I could say so. Well, I mean,
it's
really.
It's true. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. All right, so that'll be the first one, When You Would Not Miss Me. And then I'm going to go to the title track.
Okay.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Little Miss Lost. I know the cover is you.
Yeah.
And
the cover is me at 17.
And you represent Little Miss Lost,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes. Then the back cover is me currently.
Okay.
With a beautiful picture, by the way, of an incredible photographer, Sherry Rubel. The picture on the front is actually myself modeling this garment called a nudismo by the great artist Rene Moncada, who was very, very famous and well-known in Soho in the height of the art, you know, extravaganza in history in Soho back in the day. And I had just come to New York as a very young girl.
So like the mid-80s?
Yeah, for 80s. To be in the band Kamikaze Kitty and the Attack Cats. And
all spelled with K's.
Yeah, and yeah. So... Renee was supposed to be making us these dresses for the band, but what happened is the band broke up and I ended up becoming his model for years, and he designs all our album covers, basically.
Oh, really nice. All right, at 10:49 in the morning, going to start with You Would Not Miss Me, and then to the title track, Little Miss Lost. These are the Sins from the new one. Here's Stopping on My Phone.
Rough. Ain't no life you wanna go far.
It's WMFO, 10:57 in the morning. That was The Sins and Little Miss Lost, the title track from their new record. And Sue is here for something about the women. We'll talk to her in just a second. But you guys, a couple of final thoughts. We'll just remind everybody tonight at the Square Root, you guys are playing. You guys go on at 9, and tomorrow at the Worthen Attic, you guys are there. I think the show starts at 4, but I don't know if you know your set time for tomorrow.
They're going on at, was it 4? You gonna go on first?
No, I don't think we go on first. All right. I don't know. Five. There's two bands. Five. I don't know.
So I guess we gotta show up and find out.
Either way, there's two good bands. Come on down and see them both.
Absolutely. Yeah. So listen, I want to thank you guys. We're out of time. I'm gonna play one more song from the record Fall Away, but we will see you this evening. Yay! Thank you for the Sins. Thank you so much. This is Fall Away, Last Gasp of the Sins. Until Brian Young, they'll be on Brian Young's show too this afternoon. So stick around. I'm Mike. Thanks for listening.
Thanks a lot,
Sins.
Mike.
Bye.
Thank you, Mike.